Let's begin at verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for the privilege of worshiping you. Now I ask you to open our hearts that we may hear and receive what the Spirit will say in the midst of the preaching. I lift up other life-giving churches and I pray a special blessing upon them. I pray for our loved ones not yet walking in right relationship with you. And especially I pray for sons and daughters who have wandered from the faith. Draw them back to you, I pray. Thank you for hearing our prayer today, Lord, that we pray in the only name that matters, the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Ask any child what is his or her favorite part of Christmas, and pretty close to the top of every list will be presents. Come to think of it, that might make the top of the list for many adults as well. It's okay to say amen. Christmas presents are certainly something that make Christmas so special. You know, it's particularly special for those who give the presents. You know how you do it. You rack your brain to figure out just what the loved one will like. Look everywhere to find it at the best price. You know, you're going down the aisle of the store and you see something, and while you're standing there looking at it, you're on your phone checking Amazon to see if you can get it delivered without shipping. And you hide it so it won't be discovered. You wrap it in festive paper and finish it off with a bright ribbon and a colorful bow. You try to disguise it in the wrapping so it doesn't look like what it is. And you watch with amusement as the person picks it up and shakes it and tries to guess what's in the package. Well, y'all haven't done that. Oh, you have done. Okay. And then comes the day of the big reveal. I love to watch people open presents. You know, some are so careful and meticulous. They carefully peel back the tape and even fold up the paper, you know, like they're going to use it for something, you know. Unless it's one of the packages I've wrapped where I use more tape than paper. Others don't care one whit about being careful. All they want is a gift, and so ribbon and paper go flying as they eagerly tear into the packaging to discover the gift inside. I love seeing the expression on the face of the recipient when at last the gift is in hand. The joy and delight, the appreciation. At Christmas time, more than at any other time of the year, I'm able to most keenly feel the truth that it really is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, thinking about Christmas presents naturally leads me to remember the gifts brought by the wise men of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It reminds me of the song of the angels ringing through the starlit skies. It causes me to remember the worship of the shepherds as they knelt before the baby in the manger. Those were incredible Christmas presents. But the best Christmas gift ever given was the very first one. The first Christmas present ever given. And the reason we have Christmas at all was the gift of divine presence given by God to this world. Mary wrapped that gift in soft cloths. Shepherds and angels gazed upon this wonderful gift lying in a manger. Later, wise men traveled hundreds of miles to bow in worship and present their treasures to the supreme gift of the ages. And I'm not certain any of them fully understood everything they were seeing when they knelt before him. But as we look back through the telescope of time over the last 2,000 years, we are able to grasp something of the magnitude of this marvelous present of divine presence that has been given to us. When we look at the divine presence, what we first of all are seeing is a living presence. The gospel writer tells us in John 1:14, he is the eternally existing God, the Word incarnate, made flesh and dwelling with us. See, you place your finger at any point on the timeline of history, and there you will find the Lord living in the present tense. He has never used to be. He has never waited until you get to this point, and I will be. Before the beginning of time, space, matter, and energy that comprise the components of this universe, there is God, present tense, I am. When Moses needs to know his name so he can tell the children of Israel who has sent him as their deliverer, God says, tell them, I am, has sent you. When Jesus is before the Pharisees and they're claiming to be special because they're sons of Abraham, Jesus responds and says, before Abraham was, I am. And what all of that says to you today is he is a God of right now. He is not a washed up has been. He is not an out of touch, senile old man. He is not weary and worn and wasted away to a shell of his former self. He is present tense, I am. All he ever was, he is right now. All he promised to be, he is right now. He is not excess baggage we carry around that is of little or no value in our present circumstances. He is not a figure carved from corruptible wood. He is not a molded idol of destructible metal. He is a living presence. The prophet proclaimed and the angel promised this Jesus, whose birth we celebrate at this season of the year, is Emmanuel. He is himself God, and he is with us right now. Oh, I know he was taken by cruel hands and crucified at an early age for crimes that he did not commit, but Satan couldn't destroy him, and the cross couldn't defeat him, and death couldn't hold him, and the grave couldn't keep him. He is not a deceased deity. He's alive, a living, right now presence. Because he is a living presence, he feels your hurt. He sees your trouble. He understands your loneliness. He has compassion for your despair. He is involved with you right where you are. When you reach out to touch him, he's not cold and indifferent, but he is warm and embracing. He is a living presence. The Lord spoke to Moses in Exodus 3:7 and told him to tell the children of Israel in Egyptian bondage, I have seen your affliction. I have heard your cries of distress. I know your suffering, and now I have come down to deliver you. The prophet proclaimed in Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. I'm telling you, this divine presence is not just the God of history. He is not just the God of the patriarchs. He is not just the God of the prophets. Oh no, he is your God. And it may not look like it to the natural eye, but he is involved in what is going on in your life right now because he is a right now God. The secularist, the humanist, and the rationalist of our day would have you believe there is no God. Or if there is a God, he's just some impersonal force without any relevance in our modern world. But I want you to know he is very real. He's very much alive. And to everyone who will call upon him, he is as current as the morning headlines. He is as close as your next heartbeat. He is as relevant as the next breath you take. He is a right now God. He is a living presence. Not only is God's gift of divine presence a living presence, next you need to know the divine presence we behold in the manger is also a loving presence. presence. The prophet declared in Isaiah 7:14, and the angel confirmed in our text in the Gospel of Matthew, his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And whether you know it or not, this name is the most beautiful expression of love this world has ever known. And one of the deepest cries of the human heart is the one that asks, what is God like? In response to the need to know him, God revealed himself in many different ways. But no matter how he spoke, humanity didn't really understand. We didn't understand him when he spoke from the top of Mount Sinai in thunder and fire and smoke. In fact, we ran away from him when he did that. We were afraid. We didn't understand when he revealed himself in mighty displays of nature. We didn't understand when he revealed himself in the cloud and the pillar of fire as he led his people in the wilderness. We didn't understand when he revealed himself through the law. We didn't understand when he revealed himself through the sacrifices. We didn't understand when he revealed himself through the prophets. It seemed we were forever destined to go through history missing God's best because we couldn't understand him. God is love, but we saw him as harsh and severe. God is good, but we saw him as jealous and vengeful. God is kind, but we saw him as stern and demanding. Just when it seemed man and God would never get back together, the angel appeared to a virgin girl in Nazareth. She miraculously conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. The decree was issued. The journey to Bethlehem was completed. The angel chorus sang. The shepherds came running. The star appeared. The wise men traveled from the east. A smelly stall became a holy sanctuary. A manger became a cradle. And Jesus, the divine presence, was given. God took it upon himself to provide a means by which, for the first time in history, we could really understand what he is like. This is the meaning of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. When the writer records, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh, God with skin on. So if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus, the divine presence. You know, the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, that you may be able to understand the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ. Well, I want to tell you, the breadth of his love is God so loved the world. The length of his love is he gave his only begotten Son. The height of his love is that whosoever believes in him, and the depth of his love is should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is full of grace and truth. He is moved with compassion by your hurts. He is condemning of sin, but accepting of the sinner. He is meek and lowly in heart. He is faithful and true. He is a friend to the poor. He's a healer of broken hearts. He is so full of love, he is not willing for anyone to perish. So he went to the cross and took your place. He freely gave himself as the final once and for all payment so you would not have to die in your sin. He is so filled with love, he became sin for you so that you might become the righteousness of God in him. He is so filled with love that when the executioner came for you, and when the curse of sin was about to be fulfilled in your life, and when you were supposed to die, he took your place. He died for you. And in place of a curse, he gave a blessing. In place of a cross, he gave a crown. In place of a burial shroud, he gave a robe of righteousness. In place of a grave, he gave an eternal home. And in place of death, he gave eternal life. This is what the gift of divine presence brings to you. His loving, living presence reaches to you no matter where you are, no matter what you have been, no matter what you have done. Because of his love, he is compassionate when you hurt. He is patient when you stumble. He extends grace and mercy and invites whosoever will to come and find fulfillment and contentment in him. Because of his love, he brings all of his power, all of his deliverance, all of his life to the place where you are wounded and broken. Because of his love, he extends his arms toward you and releases his power within you. His love says, be clean, be strong, be free, be comforted, be not afraid, be encouraged, be whole, not because of anything in you, but because I am with you, a loving divine presence, releasing the fullness of my power within you. Gift of divine presence is a living presence. It is a loving presence. Finally, I want you to see this gift of divine presence we are given is a lasting presence. See, his living and loving presence would be totally irrelevant were it not for the fact it is also a lasting presence. The promise begins in the decree of God. It proceeds from the mouth of the prophet. It finds fulfillment in the manger. It reaches to disciples gathered on the side of a mountain to listen to inspirational teaching. It is affirmed in the mouth of angelic messengers. And it extends to where you are right now. His promise is Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always. His promise is Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you. I will never desert you. I will never forsake you. Right now, in the midst of your doubts and questions, the Lord is with you. Right now, when the stress seems unbearable, the Lord is with you. Right now, when the frustrations are mounting, the Lord is with you. Right now, when it hurts too much to function, the Lord is with you. Right now, when you feel alone and afraid and abandoned, the Lord is with you. Right now, when you don't know what tomorrow will bring, the Lord is with you. And not only is he with you right now, but tomorrow, and the day after, 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 and the day on and on and on every day after that. Anytime you feel forsaken or forgotten, anytime you think you cannot go another step, you can draw upon his strength and his help, for the Lord is with you. He never gives up on you. I thought somebody would be happy about that. He never gives up on you. He never goes away in disgust because of your lack of ability. He never gets so tired of you stumbling that he refuses to help anymore. He never throws up his hands in disgust and quits. He never walks out on you. He is committed to sticking with you always. This is the message of Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. In your home as you sit in your recliner, in your automobile as you travel the highway, on your job as you sit at your desk, in your school as you walk the halls, at all times, in all places, no matter what life throws at you, the Lord is with you. I feel like I just need to hammer this a little bit more. Friends may forsake you. Loved ones may let you down. But the Lord is with you always. His promise is Psalm 27:10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. His promise is Proverbs 18:24. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. His promise is Genesis 28:15. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. His promise is Exodus 33:14. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. His promise is Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the rivers or through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. His promise is Isaiah 43:5. Do not fear, for I am with you. This is the gift of divine presence the Lord gives to you. What I sense the Lord wanting to say to someone today is to simply remind you that you are not alone. You're not by yourself. You do not have to face the remainder of today and the rest of your tomorrows alone. The Lord is with you. Why don't you just kind of tap yourself on the shoulder and say, the Lord is with me right now. Come on. The Lord is with me right now. Now, why don't you tell somebody right near you, tell them, the Lord is with you too. Come on. The Lord is with you. Yes, He is. This is the gift of divine presence given through the baby in the manger. The best gift this Christmas isn't a present. It is the divine presence. It is a living presence. It is a loving presence. And thank God, it is a lasting presence. If you're hurting, reach out to Him. He's right there with you. Never leaving, constantly abiding, an ever-present help in time of need and trouble. Even when you can't see Him, even when you can't hear Him, even when you can't feel Him, He's there. We used to sing a song that said, He's as close as the mention of His name. Just say His name, Jesus. That's how close He is. He's right there. An ever-present help in time of need and trouble. Let's stand. Now, there's one thing you need to know that I haven't told you yet. He is with those, the way I've been preaching, He is with those who have surrendered their lives to Him. He doesn't promise to be with those who ignore Him or who reject Him. I'm not trying to, I just got to tell you the way it is.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not trying to rain on your parade here.
That's right.
But He's with those who have surrendered their lives to Him. So if you would like to know that the Lord is with you, the first thing I want to do is I want to give an invitation for those who have never surrendered your life to Jesus. Because that's how you get what I've been preaching about. Without that, you don't really have that assurance. Without it, you're going to have to try to stumble along all by yourself. And I want to tell you, the way this world is going, I really don't want to have to do that. But this invitation is to surrender to Jesus. And in so doing, receive this gift of divine presence. So that's the first thing in the first group of people that I believe the Lord is trying to speak to in this service today. There's another group. Some of you have prayed a prayer where you've surrendered to the Lord in the past, but lately you find you've wandered away. You've not denied Him, you've just gotten distracted and distanced. The Lord's calling you back today. He's looking for you, wanting you, inviting you to return. And I want to tell you, when you do, you know, sometimes we get away from God, and the first thing we want to do is we want to stay away because we're ashamed or we're afraid to come back, you know. Sometimes we know that when we messed up and we came back, we got rebuked by earthly people. God isn't like that. He's looking for you. He's wanting you. He invites you to return. And when you do, let me tell you what you'll find. You ready? Acceptance. Acceptance. You'll find welcome. The only thing you'll say negative is, what took you so long? I've been waiting. You'll find healing for your hurting heart. You'll find restoration for what has been broken. You'll find grace to help where you need it most. So those are the people the Lord has specifically laid on my heart for this service today. So Lord, I'm asking now that you will do what I am incapable of doing, and that is that you will convince and convict, and that you will give us the courage to respond in obedience to the invitation of your Spirit.